From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. This hour of the program, we are going to talk a bit about, well, not only why April is such a weird and often bad luck month, but also why that weird things tend to happen to weird people. Let me just give you an example of something that happened last month here in Puerto Rico. I have a friend named Chris. I will not give his last name without his permission. He probably wouldn't mind. But he is a TV producer at a major production company in New York. And Shelley, you've met Chris. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. We like Chris. Mm-hmm.
And Chris comes to Puerto Rico from time to time, and we shoot here in Puerto Rico. We're working together on three different TV projects right now. And last month, Chris came down to Puerto Rico, and we met up in San Juan. And he was came down with an actor, a friend of his, and I don't think the actor had ever been to Puerto Rico, and so they were kind of, you know, seeing the sights. And at one point, Lauren and I went out to dinner with Chris and his friend, and Chris had said, we want to go somewhere where we can get some really sort of authentic, homegrown Puerto Rican food. So we went to a restaurant in Old San Juan called El Jibarito. And you've eaten there, Shelley. I don't know if you remember it, but it was it's on Del Sol Street. And I think when we did our first expedition, Shelley, when we had you know, all the ladies and Justin were there, and it's a very, very busy restaurant. And it was a very busy night. We had to wait about 45 minutes to get a table. So it's kind of it's a pretty large room. And nothing too fancy about the layout of the room, because they cram as many people in there as they can. And we had a table against one of the far walls. So just to describe this layout, it's a table that seats four. I'm sitting on one side of the table with Lauren to my left. Directly across from me is Chris. And then sitting to Chris's right is his friend. So we're just sitting there, you know, chatting as we wait for our order to come in. And at one point, Chris starts talking about how throughout his whole life, it seems like, you know, the weirdest things tend to happen when he's around. You know, it's like he's always ending up in spots where odd things happen. And he started telling us this specific story about being in another country and walking into an alleyway and finding a human body part, a severed human body part there. And so this story is getting really bizarre. Now, as he is telling this story, now, mind you, I'm going to tell this now from my point of view. I'm sitting there looking at him. Now, past him, right next to our table, is another table. And there is a woman sitting with her back to Chris's back. And a man, I'm assuming, is her husband, was sitting across the table from her. So right as Chris gets into the thick of the story about finding this body part, suddenly Lauren and I see this woman behind Chris just absolutely sort of lose consciousness and just flop over and hit the table face first. Like she has just instantaneously died and just...
Peanut allergy.
And so... Her the man, again, I'm assuming her husband, he jumps up and rushes over to grab her. In the process, knocks a drink over. So, you know, there's like ice and liquid flowing everywhere. This is not a small lady. She wasn't huge, but she wasn't small. And so he sort of drags her off. And this woman is just limp as a noodle at this point. And he's trying, you know, to give her the Heimlich maneuver. Well, obviously, at this point, everybody starts going nuts because they realize there's something terrible happening. And Chris turns around, since he was the closest person, realizes that this guy is not doing the Heimlich maneuver properly, and he jumps in there and puts his arm around pretty much the guy and the woman, and he starts applying the Heimlich maneuver, and then it's just like chaos ensues. They're just everybody in the restaurant is deciding to rush over here like everybody's a doctor or something. It's ridiculous. I'm just sitting there watching this go down, realizing there's nothing that I can do at this point.
So you're just going to enjoy it.
I pull out my cell phone and start videotaping.
You did not.
I know. It makes you feel like such a scumbag. But, you know, it's like, yeah, I got nothing else to do. I didn't get much, though. Just a bunch of Puerto Rican butts in my face, pretty much.
Every Puerto Rican video.
Yeah. A bunch of J-Lo butts just come, like, closing in the frame. And so they work on this woman for a while, and she does not look good. She looks like she has dropped dead. And so within short time, there's an ambulance that comes in, and they come in, and they pull out a stretcher, and they're taking her vital signs. And she actually kind of started regaining consciousness. And she seemed obviously really out of it, had no idea what was going on. She starts saying, oh, I'm okay, and everybody's like, no, you're not. And so they put her on this stretcher, and they take her out the door. And it was just such a great, like one of those one in a million things that would happen, and it would happen directly behind him as he is telling us this story about how that he attracts weird phenomenon, just weird stuff like that. So my whole life, I've noticed there are certain people out there who friends of mine I've known for years who've said, look, I've been going out there doing paranormal investigations and I don't ever see anything. I don't see a ghost. I never see the Brown Mountain lights. I mean, nothing ever happens for me. And then I have other friends who, you know, they're just going out to run to the grocery store and buy, you know, a few odds and ends, and they come back with like some epic tale about seeing a UFO or a Bigfoot. I mean, and it's just like, well, every time.
Shelly tonight saw ghost cats.
Yeah, well, Shelly leans toward the weird things happening to weird people part of this story, right, Shelly?
Oh, but you know, I haven't told you anything about what happened with Demented Patty on her vacation in Puerto Rico recently, last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is that something you can tell on the radio?
Oh, heck yeah, I'm going to tell. Okay, so she is out on the water. You know, she always has weird stuff that happens. You remember last summer she was trimming her hedges and she cut off the tip of her middle finger?
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, remember that? Okay, that's just kind of typical. But this time she's on vacation and a flying fish comes up and hits her right in the eye and she gets a black eye. And then she went to the doctor today and found out that that fish it gave her
E. coli.
She has a deviated septum now.
Oh, man.
I mean, you can't really laugh, but you kind of can
because
always happens to Patty. Stuff like that.
She has a seafood allergy.
Just something all the time.
So I tend to think whatever type of person that you are and whatever type of activity that you seem to attract or manifest, it probably has something to do with what you're also looking for and what you're thinking about. And I believe that one of the reasons this month, April, is always such a strange month is because it actually enhances what you are subconsciously manifesting. And now, why is that? Well, it maybe has to do with the fact that this is when the energy of life is swirling back around us. We're in the midst of the spring. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but my allergies are killing me. I've been taking allergy medicine, and I know a lot of you listening are probably in the same boat. But you have all these you know, flowers that are blooming, and, you know, there's this whole energy of rebirth. And I believe that, therefore, it makes it easier for things to manifest. And if you're a person who is looking for good stuff, well, maybe it helps with that. If you're looking for weird stuff, that happens. But unfortunately, a lot of people have this sort of inherent pessimistic attitude. They're always worrying about things going wrong. And so a lot of things go wrong in April. I always go to this list as a demonstration of this every April, so I'm going to do that right now. Of course, April starts with April Fool's Day. So, and nobody is even sure historically why that is. There is no exact pinpoint for why this is celebrated around the world as a day to start, you know, playing pranks on people and screwing with them, basically. It's also bad for a lot of people in the U.S. who are worried about their taxes, because taxes come due, and that can be a headache, and that can be stressful. But I just want to go briefly down this list here, because it's important enough. And gosh, I'm not going to even make it through this list because we're getting short on time. But let me start off by saying, okay, the American Revolutionary War, it started in April with Paul Revere's ride. The American Civil War started in April of 1861. It ended in April of 1865. Thus, it was called the War Across Five Aprils. The Battle of Asheville happened in April. A lot of genocides happened in April. The Rwandan genocide, April of 94. The Armenian genocide, April of 1915. But other things related to April. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated April 14th of 1865. The San Francisco earthquake happened April of 1906. The Titanic sank April 1912. Martin Luther King assassinated April 4th of 1968. Apollo 13, the notorious unsuccessful mission to the moon, launched April 11th, 1970. Chernobyl happened in 1986. The L.A. riots after the Rodney King verdict, April of 1992. The Branch Davidian siege in Waco, Texas, April of 93. The Oklahoma City bombing, April of 95. The Columbine High School massacre, April of 1999. The Boston Marathon, April of 2013. The 2007 Virginia Tech massacre, April of 2007. The Deepwater Horizon rig exploded and killing 11 people, April of 2010. We're going to take a break here.
But the first girl I ever fooled around with behind church was named April. Well, so there's the flip side of the coin, too.
Well, one of my most prominent girlfriends was named April, and that's when I started realizing a lot of things that were bad would happen around her birthday. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll continue talking about this and, well, where this is leading us, and we're going to soon get into this amazing ghost photo. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Do you think you can tell?
Spring is here, a suffering is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do, don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me, and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. La 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 doo dee dee doo doo doo. We've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
Yeah, welcome back to Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. The number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402. Again, that's 828-298-5402. And we are talking about, well, some of the strange things that happen this time of year. During the break, Sam and Shelley and I were talking about some unusual bands that are out there, and it reminded me that just days ago, a pop star who was performing in, I believe, Indonesia, 29-year-old named Irma Buell, she was on stage singing with snakes. That's part of her her motif or whatever. She performs with snakes, and in the past she's performed with boa constrictors and pythons, but this time she had a king cobra on stage, and she thought the thing had been defanged. Turns out it was not. And right after her first song, she accidentally stepped on it, and so it snapped up and bit her in the thigh. After that, there was a medical person there who offered her some anti-venom. For some reason, she turned it down.
They just happened to have anti-venom?
Yeah. 45 minutes later, she started vomiting. She started going into convulsions. She had seizure, and then she died. So, you know, less than an hour after being bitten by this thing, she was killed. And it's just so weird that, well, for one thing, I actually dreamed about snakes the night before this happened. And it just, I don't like the idea of being around snakes, probably because I've had them crawl into my bed before. I don't know why anybody would invite a king cobra up on stage, but that's a sad thing that happened to her. Let's get back to some other bad luck April stuff. Before the break, I was going down this list of things that have happened in April that are considered bad, and there is a big, big, long list. But, you know, keep this in mind. Hitler was born April 20th of 1889. He died April 30th of 1945. Saddam Hussein was born April 28th of 1937, and his reign in Iraq ended with the war April 9th of 2003. Just on you know, side note, Anton LaVey, head of the Church of Satan, founder of the Church of Satan, was born April 11th, 1930. And a lot of people, a lot of scholars, believe that Jesus was actually born around April the 17th. And, of course, he was crucified around the time of April, they think. Buddha was born April the 8th. In April of 1513, Ponce de Leon was the first European to set foot in Florida, which, of course, that turned into a bloodbath. He himself was killed by a native with the poison arrow when he was, I think, like 43 or 44. The list goes on and on. By the way, the official stone of April is the diamond. And you never really hear so much about gemstones being cursed except for diamonds. The Hope Diamond, of course, is the most famous one. And the Hope Diamond and the curse of the Hope Diamond actually has a weird connection to Asheville, which we tell you about and you can learn about when you take one of the haunted Asheville ghost tours. Because when you go into the Asheville Mystery Museum, there is actually a display about the curse of the Hope Diamond and its connection to Asheville.
I remember seeing that on the tour. You know?
Yeah.
I went to the Museum of Natural History or in Washington last year, and they had the Hope Diamond there, and I was a little bit freaked out to even go in the room with it.
Yeah, well, you know, it it is one of those things that definitely has an undeniable history. I mean, you can say this is a coincidence to a certain extent, or that people are extracting what fits into their theory and ignoring the things that don't. But there comes a point when the data is overwhelming, and the curse of the Hope Diamond is real. And a lot of folks believe that when the Hope Diamond was donated to the Smithsonian, the curse was passed to the American people. And that, you know, since then, and I don't know, I don't remember what year that was, but since then, things have not quite been the same in our country. So who knows? But speaking of the people, and speaking of this, you know, concept of that there is some kind of spiritual element to the government and the country that we live in. This time last year, April of 2015, I was in Washington, D.C., and C. Eric Scott and I were running around D.C. and Maryland and that general area, and we were trying to get to the bottom of this photograph that I believe shows the full-bodied apparition of Abraham Lincoln. We've talked about this a lot. In fact, Eric and I made a video that was 10 or 15 minutes that we put out, freely released to the public, about our findings regarding this photograph. You can watch that video if you go to joshuapwarren.com, and you can click a link to the Gallery of the Bizarre or Gallery of the Strange. It's right there in the menu heading at the top. And Gallery of the Strange has got a bunch of different headings within it. So you can click on ghosts or UFOs or psychic phenomena. And prominently linked up there is the report on the ghost of Abraham Lincoln in the White House, a photograph that was taken in 1950. Well, when we released that report, it went all over the place. I mean, the audio of the entire thing was played on Coast to Coast AM. And so that went international. The story was picked up by the Huffington Post. It was picked up by media in various countries around the world. I mean, you can type in Abraham Lincoln ghost photo, and you'll see information about our research that comes up in various languages. I was contacted, for example, by a television show in Spain that was doing a segment about it. So that went all over the place. So that was a year ago. I was working on that. And now here we are, a year later, and there is a new photograph that has emerged that was taken in December. And I get people sending me pictures all the time. And so I get to see a lot, and I analyze a lot, and I always take the most interesting ones, and I send them to my most technically apt associates who can run them through filters and analyze whatever metadata or optics are there. And this one has passed every test with flying colors. A photograph was taken in a tavern in Maryland last December. Now, this is a photograph frequented by President George Washington during his life. And it was taken by a woman named Lisa Molden. And perhaps not surprisingly, this woman says that she has the ability to psychically communicate with the spirits of the dead presidents. She has a book called Presidential Souls about this topic. And in the near future, I'm going to have Lisa on this program so she can tell us more about this. But she was there trying to actually communicate mentally with some of the spirits there. And sure enough, she takes this picture. It was kind of a random shot because she was having a little party in a corner of this nice old tavern with friends and supporters. And she captures what clearly looks like some kind of a dark apparitional form that very closely resembles the ghost of George Washington. If you go to joshuapwarren.com, there is no period after the P, go to joshuapwarren.com. Scroll down the homepage, you will see this photograph, and you will see a variety of enhancements there related to this photograph. by the way, some people who see this photograph say they think that George Washington's ghost looks like he's wearing glasses. But I want to let you know that historically speaking, Washington actually did wear glasses sometimes. But in this case, he is not. This is actually an optical illusion. I point this out in our analysis because there's a lighting fixture at the translucent edge of the ghost's face. And that creates the impression that he has something on his eyes, but he really doesn't. We're going to get into more details in the near future about this, especially when I have Lisa on the program. And by the way, I'm going to be on Coast to Coast AM Friday, April the 15th, and I'm going to be talking about this. But, gosh, we are past our break time.
No, so let's... no, we're not.
Oh, we're not?
No, we still got 30 seconds before we even got to go to music.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. So in that case...
oh, no, I'm right. You're right.
All right. So let's take our break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about ghosts and spooky things and spirituality and how that the consciousness is being captured by current day technology. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. You can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. You can also go directly to WrightsCoinShop.com. That's spelled W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com. There's a link at SpeakingOfStrange.com. And, you know, I was saying if you go to JoshuaPWarren.com, well, you can scroll down that homepage and look at this photograph of what appears to be the ghost of George Washington. We're going to release more information on this soon, but you'll be able to actually see some enhancements and other information that I think you'll find fascinating. I mentioned that I am going to be on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Friday, April the 15th. First 2 hours of the show, which on the Pacific coast will be 10 to 12 and on the East coast will be 1 to 3, talking about this photo and other things. But if you haven't heard already, well, George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast AM, is coming to Asheville, North Carolina to do a live event at the Diana Wortham Theater. This is an event that he does from time to time called George Norrie Live. And basically, he travels around and he gets venues, and they pick about three of the most popular guests on Coast to Coast AM, and they put a set together on stage, which is similar to, say, like a Johnny Carson-type interview set, where he sits there and does live interviews, and they have a big screen where there's multimedia, and usually George does something like sing. He's a talented singer, so he'll get up and he'll perform. And then you get to meet everybody in person after the show. I actually flew out to Boise, Idaho, I guess like a couple years ago, and was a part of one of those. And so now George Norrie Live is coming to Asheville, North Carolina. And the three people who are going to be featured for this event are all Asheville locals. It's going to be myself, it's going to be Dr. Bill Forstchen, and it's going to be Micah Hanks. And, of course, Micah Hanks, not only is he one of my cousins, but he used to produce this show way back in the day. And now Micah produces a lot of events on his own and has authored a number of books. So that's going to be on Saturday, August the 27th. I think it starts around 5:30 p.m. at the Diana Wortham Theater. And tickets are going to go on sale in May. I'm thinking around May 3rd or something like that. But if you go to joshuapwarren.com and click the news link, then you'll be able to see more information on that event. But go ahead and put down Saturday, August 27th on your calendar right now to come to George Norrie Live and see me and Bill Forstchen and Micah Hanks, and who knows what other fun stuff will be in store. So getting back to what we were discussing, though, but you know, I just want to – this is sort of out of place, but it also fits into just the level of technology that we've reached. I saw this news story days ago. The story I'm looking at was reported by CNN. For the first time ever, scientists captured an actual exploding star. This happened 1.2 billion light years away, and it was captured by the Kepler Space Telescope. And this is a supernova, basically. Now, here is what I want to really emphasize to all of you listening to this program. Usually, when NASA tells you, oh, we've captured something amazing that's like 1.2 billion light years away, you go and you watch the footage, and it's nothing. It's just like a little light that just, you know, maybe it brightens for a second and then it dims. It's just like a little tiny. In this case, the footage of this blew my mind. The footage of this looks like a special effect from Star Wars. I kid you not. When you look at the footage of this, you see a big orange ball there that looks like our sun. And then you see these kind of blue lights that start kind of bubbling out of it. And then all of a sudden, it turns into this giant blue expanding ball of light. And, I mean, this expanding energy field, it goes, gosh, I'm looking at the news story because I can't remember. It's like the actual explosion that's moving out around it goes out for like millions and millions and millions of miles, but it is absolutely incredible. In fact, I'm going to put a link to this on the speakingofstrange.com website, and you can go there and look at it yourself, but it is well worth it. It's one of the neatest things that I've ever seen, an actual supernova captured by NASA. So technology is really advancing at truly an amazing pace. And over the past couple weeks, there have been some stories coming out about explorations into the human mind, the human psyche. And when we talk about this concept of ghosts, the ghost of Abraham Lincoln, the ghost of George Washington, or we talk about things like wishing machines and whether or not the quartz crystals inside the machines can retain consciousness and allow it to replay or rebroadcast and maybe have some connection to the crystal skulls. I think of it this way. When a sound is played, and let's just forget about modern technology. Let's go back to phonographs, you know, like the first wax cylinders that Thomas Edison was using. When a sound was played and that needle etched a signature, a representation of that sound onto the cylinder, And then later, the process was reversed, and the cylinder was rotated, and then the sound was replayed. You actually were not getting the original sound, but you were getting something that was so close to that sound that it gives you more or less the impression of being there when the original sound was replayed. And I don't know that we're ever going to be able to take someone's actual consciousness and put it in a bottle and, you know, seal the lid and allow the original consciousness to come back and interact with you later. But we are getting really close to being able to capture a signature of the consciousness that is so detailed that it can be recorded and then played back later, and it gives you almost the impression that you are interacting with the same person. Speaking of Superman, do you remember in the original Superman movie with Christopher Reeve how he puts the crystal into the little tube at the Fortress of Solitude, and suddenly the giant image of his father, Marlon Brando, appears there and tells him, oh,
Jor-El.
Jor-El, yeah, and says, hey, glad you've done this. Now let me, you know, allow you to ask questions. Do you have any questions? Here's what I need to teach you. And he gives Superman this education. Well, you know, right now we are living in this digital world, especially those of us who are within this kind of generation and younger, Sam and Shelley. And basically everything that we do is being recorded in some way through the digital media. Everything you do on your cell phone, everything you do on the computer, every time you swipe your credit card, I mean, all this stuff is being somehow recorded. And I think that eventually we're going to reach a point where there's going to be a supercomputer that's going to be able to take every digital trace that you left behind and then combine all of that through some very complex algorithm and reconstruct a representation of you that is interactive.
I mean, that's pretty much what they're doing now, like in those big flotillas that they make in the off the ocean, you know, to keep them cool because there's so much computing power. You know, I mean, like right now, they can see all the stuff for Joshua P. Warren, but it's not necessarily linked to you. It's not like in a folder. But if they wanted to, like, they could backtrack it and find it all out. As it is, isn't it just like a big lump of data right now?
Yeah, yeah. And so yours, Sam, would just be like
porn, guitars, yeah. guitars.
Guitar, porn. But at least you can have intelligent conversations with Sam 1,000 years into the future about that subject. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you, we'll jump to them quickly, a couple of these news stories about things that are being done to tap into the power of the brain, the power of the mind, the power of consciousness, and to digitize it in some form, and how we might be able to actually communicate in the future with a digital representation of you that seems as close as possible to the real you. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. final minutes of hour number two on tonight. Speaking of strange, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's is 828-985402. And guess what? If you stick around for next hour, the third and final hour of the program, well, it is what we call the Dark 30 hour. And that means we are deep into safe harbor, and we can talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial news, some of the more sordid and seedy stuff that you just can't talk about earlier hours. And so if that sounds like your cup of tea, stick around for that, because some people really enjoy it and some people are horrified by it. But I want to get back to what we have been discussing this hour and leading up to this idea that technology is really, well, let me put it this way. Technologists are doing their best to merge technology with consciousness, at least as much as capturing a signature of that. And I'm always interested in what the military is doing, because the military doesn't give a crap if they can explain how something works. All they care about is if it works. So if you go to some university where everybody's trying to justify their salary, well, they have to be able to give a big presentation that makes sense to everybody, to have them raise their hands and ask questions and write dissertations and whatnot, trying to explain and justify what they do and how they do it and why they do it. The Pentagon has this gigantic budget and tons of scientists and researchers who are not directly accountable to anybody. They're a part of the black budget, and they say, go do this, make it happen, make it work, don't care how it works. So you get the latest, greatest risk takers in military technology. Well, the Pentagon's research arm, which is called DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, is taking big initiatives to bring us a step closer and making cybernetic organisms a reality. The military is investing many, many millions of dollars on the development of implants that can connect the human brain and computers. This is called the NESD, the Neural Engineering System Design, and it's DARPA's new program that aims to develop a tiny, tiny thing you can stick in your brain that transmits signals that computers understand. Now, we're not even talking about plugging a wire into your head, okay? This is some truly, space age technology where you put something in your head and then you have a thought, and your thought is able to connect to a signal, and that signal goes out and it controls a computer. Now, I find it very interesting that this also borders on a form of actual technologically viable telepathy. And I have this other story here about scientists who are making headway demonstrating the actual telepathy that can exist in the dream state. The headline here is, "Scientists Demonstrate Groundbreaking Evidence of Dream Telepathy." Now, this is a long story, but the gist of it is they are finding that when you do these experiments where you're trying to actually dig into whether or not statistically you can prove telepathy, if you test people in a dream state, it goes way, way up. Without digging into this, since we're short on time, let me give you a couple of personal examples. I remember when I was a kid, I think I was in like the sixth grade or something like that, I had a science teacher named Miss Duncan. And one night I went to sleep and I dreamed very vividly that the next day Miss Duncan pulled out her stool and sat down in front of the class and said, "Hey, I am leaving and I'm not going to be your teacher anymore. I've taken a new job." And that was it. Well, the next day, guess what? That exact thing happened. She was wearing the same outfit. She slid the stool over. She sat down and she told us this exactly as it had been in my dream. I will never forget how clear that was. And for me personally, that is proof of psychic phenomena.
So basically you're saying you're like that little boy in the Twilight Zone that everybody has to please, or else he'll manifest these things, like in the what was it? he'd make things with his brain if he didn't get, like, his peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever, and everybody lived in fear of this little kid.
Twilight Zone, the movie, yes, yes. No,
it was actually an episode of the classic. But
They reproduced it. I saw what was going to happen. And so now I have had other experiences where I have had a dream where I saw a ship in the sky, and then I talked to a friend of mine, and he had the same dream the same night where he saw the same ship, and he told me about it before I told him about my dream.
Were you on acid?
No, I wasn't. That's the most amazing thing. So I know that there is some actual psychic ability that exists here, and they're turning it now into a technological data signature, and once you do that, it doesn't go away. It can be captured there and archived and reproduced thousands of years in the future. And is it possible that that's what we are right now? We're replaying our former selves. Chew on that for a while. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The Dark 30 Hour kicks up right after this.